can do and find out what
Blog
you
Talk
really
Radio.
Keeping Up with Barbara starts now.
Hey, everybody, welcome. We have got a fantastic show for all of you today. Let me start out with this. First of all, you should know that what you're listening to is Keeping Up with Barbara. And the Barbara that I'm referring to is Barbara Scheidegger. And if you knew a little bit about who she is, you would know one thing, that when she talks about keeping up, she also means never give up. That's what this is about. Today, we're going to take a really closer look at what the heck are we thinking when it comes to aging. Aging. Is aging an attitude? This is what she's going to talk about. If you want to know this about Barbara, here's what you should know. First of all, she is an amazing entrepreneur, an extraordinary businesswoman, launched one of the top companies on the planet, you know, founded it, brought it up from the beginning, absolutely in the luxury market of branding and confidence building. And her life is this beautiful web. It's a tapestry of moving forward, facing challenges. You, whether or not you take a look at where she was born and raised in Switzerland, and is now a citizen of the world, what she has learned is it doesn't matter what you're faced with, we have within us the unlimited potential to create the life we want no matter what age. But what is the challenge we face now? Well, if you're Barbara, you know what she does. She's a certified clinical hypnotherapist. She's an NLP practitioner, master trainer, life coach, beyond being an extraordinary businesswoman. But here's the thing. She's now committed and passionate to helping all of us understand right out of the gate that when we limit ourselves or we limit our lives because of a number, we literally set into play the energy that requires us to play very small. Today's show is not about that at all. Today's show is all about aging, an attitude, and not a disease. Barbara, this is such a powerful message, isn't it?
Oh, it is, absolutely. It's, yeah, we have to put the number away. We have to ignore the society who tells us, oh, yeah, you're 60, that's normal. You should have pain, you should have a headache, or, of course, high blood pressure or high cholesterol. Choose it. You can have it, you know. And then we accept it. Even when the doctor says, oh, you have high blood pressure. Well, yeah, you know, at your age, you can have high blood pressure. But I do know young people who have high blood pressure. What do we do there? Are they too young? What's the thing? Is because they're 20 they have it? No, it's an excuse. Well, I understand that it happens. And if you have high blood pressure at 60, you're lucky. But now take care of it. You didn't have it before. And just, I understand that you need to take, in the beginning, a pill to stabilize it. But then, instead of popping another pill and another pill, go into yourself and ask yourself, well, why do I have that? What did I ignore? Do I just accept it because I'm 60 or 65 or whatever the age is? That's not right. We have to go to the root and check it, what can we do? Instead of just listening to society and say, yeah, you're 60. And that, I've heard that. I mean, I was 59 at that time with my lungs. One day I was really sick. I coughed up blood and a constant being sick and losing weight and being miserable. So I went to the lung specialist. They looked at my lungs and the lung specialist came in. She was maybe in her late 30s. She looked at me and said, well, women of your age tend to have that problem. I got so upset. I really, it was like an insult to me. It's basically, yeah, you're finished, you're done at your age. I had to tell her, I have two sisters, they're older than me. One of them smokes. They don't have that problem. What do we do now? And even when the doctor walks in, the first question, what medicine do you take? High blood pressure, this, and then I don't take anything. Well, how old are you? Oh, now I'll be 64. And no medicines? No, I take vitamins. Okay, tell me what you take. Or then he comes up, do you take recreational drugs? I don't take drugs. I never did in my life take drugs. I deal with the problem. If you take drugs, you undercut the problem. You make it, you just ignore it. And then when you get off the drugs, that problem pops up and say, hey, I'm still here. Take care of me now, or I make it worse. Yeah. And that's what we need to do today, to realize we need to take care of ourselves. And that's the important part, no matter what age you are.
Yeah.
Listen to your body and take care of it.
Barbara, one of the things that was said to me, I don't know, maybe a month ago or so, was fascinating. Because I was talking with somebody and I was just, you know, they asked me a little bit about my own journey. And then at the end, they said something like, you know what? I've done too much harm to reverse it. And I said, no, wait, that's not true. I mean, didn't you just hear what I told you about my life up to about age 40 and what that was like? No, that is absolutely not true. I mean, you must have watched some kind of commercial or something tell you that. But the body is magical. I mean, this thing that we call our body, this thing is fit for so much. It just wants to be cared for, right?
Well, absolutely. I just heard on the radio today about Bruce Willis. His problem now, his sickness, yes. And the doctor actually gave references to it. They check people who are exercising, fitness, nutrition, and positive-minded, they are less likely to get Alzheimer's or any other brain sickness.
Mm-hmm.
It, you're not excluded, of course, it can happen, but it starts with us. It really starts with us. Because once this problem comes up, it's not that is not reversible anymore because we ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that are not reversible anymore because we're ignoring it too long. But we can make it better. We can make it comfortable. But most of the time, to 99% of the problems, of the health problems, is reversible. It takes time, patience. You need to adjust. You need. It's a lifestyle change, and that's what we need to do. We have to change our lifestyle. It's not because for 40 years, yes, I did that for 40 years, and I'm going to do it for another 40 years. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
We have to make a change.
I don't remember what age Linda's mom was. I want to say about 75, and of course she had bone cancer, so many different things. But it was just wonderful because Linda got laid off from her job. She started to work here, and of course, you know, my show 20 years now was all about talking about solutions the way you're talking about them now. But what was fascinating about this was, and this is the true story, and it talks exactly to what you said, they had given up on Joan. They had done a test and said, your heart is at 30%. Nobody lives. And Linda told me that, and I connected with one of our people, one of our hosts. And within a short period of time, she put her on a different nutritional track. Let's just call it that. Let's just say that. And one of them was to give her a really cool nutritional supplement for the heart alone, just for the heart, very pure, right? In a month, Joan goes back to the doctor and walks in. And the doctor does all the same tests and says, what happened? Your heart is at 70%. The reason I'm sharing this is to your point. No, it's never too late, right? Now, if she would have waited longer, I'm not sure. Two, you can turn things around. Yeah. Three, Joan was open to this new form of nutrition. So you have to have that mindset.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to be open. But isn't that what you're talking about? Yeah, and so the doctor's like, don't tell me what you're doing. And she was like that through bone cancer till she was 87.
Yeah. No, it's these are facts, you know. It's just it's the fear of change and the anger we have in us. And then it's easier to say, no, I should swallow a pill, and then, I heard it the other day. Oh, I just swallowed a pill, you know, I'm 72 years old. It's too late. We have to say, hey, come on, listen to me here. Too late to walk, too late to breathe, too late to run, too late to eat. What do you mean by too late? Because tomorrow, if you have to die, you're going to hold on. You're going to hold on and say, one more minute. Can I make a change? Can I just make a change? And then then you try, but then it doesn't bring you much further away. It's just like, no, do it now. Okay, you're 72, so what? So then cut
it's
out.
It's a number.
Yeah,
it's
then
a number.
Cut out the meat. You know, inflammation is a big problem in our body. And the nutrition gives us inflammation. So when we have arthritis, it is inflammation. Instead of just swallowing the pill, change your eating habits. It's a mindset. And we have to learn how to today to say, yes, I can do it. I have to change my whole eating habits. I mean, my nutrition. There are many things I cannot eat. And people say, oh, poor you. I said, no. Through that, I discovered so many good other things that are edible. I didn't know before because I grew up, you have to have milk, you have to have cheese, you have to have potatoes. You don't. You actually don't. As a kid, maybe, yes, you need to build and to grow up your body. But after 20, you do not need these things anymore.
No. You know, we're going to talk about this when we come back. I'm so glad you brought this up because there's a fundamental difference for me that I literally saw this. And you know this. You know, coming from Switzerland, you know this. There's a fundamental difference to watch my relatives make pasta on a board with all natural ingredients, nothing processed, not a single thing processed, right? Nothing sprayed. And to watch them literally take these ingredients, every bit of them that they created themselves, right? And to sit there, that is fundamentally something different that you put in your body.
Yeah.
It's not in a box. And by the way, for those of you, if you've ever had fresh pasta, you don't have to cook them for 15 minutes. I'm just saying. What do you think does wrong with that?
So delicious.
Right? We're going to take a short break. When we come back with Barbara, we're going to talk about, this is a hard one. Who are you surrounding yourself with?
Yep.
I want to talk to you about this for a minute because if you're surrounding yourself with people that are constantly, maybe outright, maybe subliminally, telling you just can't do the things you should, if that's you, what do you think the impact is? We're going to talk about that. Or if you're like me, and I go out and I hang out a couple times a week, play table tennis with people 85 years old, beats my butt, happy.
I must hear it.
Don't think about age, everybody.
Yeah.
What do you think the difference is? Let's take a short break. When we come back, by the way, skiing is for everybody. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Yeah. everybody. Welcome back. You are actually listening to Keeping Up with Barbara Scheidegger, right here. And for more information, if you want to find out about Barbara, go to barbarascheidegger.com website. You can also Google Keeping Up with Barbara. For the most part, this is a decision that Barbara made to bring a message out into the world that addresses what it takes for us to be happy, joyful, vibrant, feel great in every way. Today we're talking about aging is an attitude and not a disease, but it's an attitude that can permeate every cell in your body. It can permeate your thoughts at night. It could permeate the minute that you get up from the chair and you maybe have a little ache and pain and you go to the place, oh, I'm getting old. No. Okay, why do you have a little ache and pain? Who knows? Maybe you walk into the cabinet. But it's not all related. But the attitude that you carry with you is that. And so let's talk about one of the things, Barbara, that I know you discovered and I know I discovered along the way, but I didn't know it. And that is the people we put ourselves around.
Yeah.
What is the impact of that?
Oh, my God. That's a big impact on the person when you hang out with a negative person, because you can never bring them up. They bring you down. And I had quite a few interaction with these people that I had to say, no, I'm going to stay away from them. It's constantly, they find a problem for every solution. I mean, they start the sentence always already, oh, this is the problem. What the problem is. I said, what's the problem? No, let's look for solutions. You have a stomach ache. Oh, yeah, it's a problem. I have a stomach ache. Okay, why? What did you eat? Do you have it every day? Do you have it just when you have nothing to eat? This is the problem when you hang out with people with problems. It weighs you down. You go home and you feel miserable. I had that once, one experience I had really, seriously, that brought me down. I went skiing and I wanted a private instructor. And I had always Walter, wonderful man, but he wasn't available. So they gave me one, said there's one available. I said, okay, the only request I have, I don't care about age, I don't look at anything, I want somebody who laughs and is funny and we can have fun on the slope. Yeah, it's him. We can call him Philip. And I went with him and he started already. Oh, about his ex-wife. How this and that. He said, look, I'm here for skiing. I don't want to hear your ex-wife story. And then on the ski lift, oh, it's always so long. And said, well, it's season, and we're going on. And on the ski lift, he had so much negativity in him that after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when the session was finished, I went back and I started to hate skiing. So I said, I'm not going skiing anymore.
I
don't want to go skiing anymore. And my sister said, why not? Well, I skied and he did. Said, forget him. He's a miserable person. But he brought me to a point that I didn't want to ski anymore. And I love skiing. And that was a big, big lesson for me. That's why I go with somebody and I feel like, oh, my God, I send them off with love and go away, but leave me alone. Because you will have really the power, no matter how much I fight it. The end of the day, you will bring me down. And what I say, like what you said then about the cells, you know, they are communicating. Cells are communicating with each other. And if we are miserable and we start miserable in our head, the cells start, oh, let's be miserable. And suddenly something hurts. So it's very important even that you have the conversation with yourself. And out of my own experience, I healed my lungs. Every night when I went to bed, I had that conversation with my lung. I actually wanted to see a healthy lung into my lung, which was unhealthy at that time. And I had that picture of the healthy lung, and every night when I went to bed, about for 20 minutes, I talked to my lung.
Yeah.
Lungs, and I always, to the cells, you know, I have that imagination that I go to, that my cells, you know, in the negativity, they're in the dark, and then the good cells, they're communicating. And then, you know, like in a city, it's dark.
Yeah.
And then suddenly one light goes on, the other light goes on. And that was my conversation with myself, you know. Turn on the lights, push out the others, turn on, make space, come on. Hundred thousands, millions of lights are going on. And it's been since November. I do not cough anymore. I have energy. And I'm so grateful.
Yeah. I love this. I love your talking about this. If there was one message to give people about this, because you just talked about it in two different ways. One, toxic people, it's going to get on you. I don't care how shut off you are, you pick it up. But the other thing that you said, and this is important because my cells stopped working in 2004. That's what the doctor said.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in our 20th year for the show. And it changed the trajectory of the show because I did not believe for one minute that you were going to tell me there was nothing I could do. And what you just shared about going to bed at night and talking to yourself, it worked. Not only that, Barbara, let's talk about this now, because even if you have toxic people in your life, you can do the same thing to ask for help around making better choices. Now, I'm not saying, and I don't think you're saying, that it's easy to just remove toxic people. It may take time, right?
They're like boomerangs.
Yeah.
But I know how to react to them today.
It's true. And it, sometimes it's very tricky. Because even if you say to somebody, I had to change table tennis partners. As good as this guy was, I was like, you know, I don't care how many gold medals we get, I just don't feel great about myself after. And I love the sport. And, you know, life is like that. But we continue to put ourselves in situations and around people.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason that is, maybe you want them to like you. There are situations we put ourselves in that are very hard. One of them is work. It is so difficult for people to leave a job with a toxic bullying boss. I know that.
The fear is just out. Well, then I don't have a job, and what do I do? But you will find a job. It's mind over matter. You can imagine what you want. It's time to leave. Toxic people, they really can help you to develop sicknesses.
Man.
High blood pressure, high cholesterol. Wherever the body is weak at that time, it will be affected. So I do know, even, you want to leave a job, imagine yourself, put it out there, what you want. It's time for new. It's just time for new. And that's the fear we have. We have always the fear then, oh, what do I do? Isn't it better just to leave and then get something else and you learn maybe something new and move on than being in a toxic environment? But speaking about jobs, yes, you can leave them. But how about family members? What are you doing with those? Ooh, that's a big deal. Then also we have to learn, you know, you might have, a narcissistic father, a narcissistic mother, a narcissistic sister.
Oh.
Well, from these people, you have to stay away. And if you have to go to a family event, it's definitely just good for you that you check out who they are. I cannot change them, and I won't ask questions anymore, because narcissists, they think they don't know how to love. They don't know how to be kind until they get something, and they have to put you down because they feel miserable already. So they have to put you on a, how do you say, on a lower level than them?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Very stressful.
Yeah.
So even then, you have the right to stay away. Even the family members, you just move away and accept for who they are, because you cannot change them. But you can change the way you look at them. And you just can say, he or she is who they are, and start just laugh about it. Yeah, that's for in yourself. Oh, that was not fun. That wasn't fun, but I have to laugh about it. Because I knew exactly what you're going to say. I knew exactly how you're going to react. I knew that you will put me down. So, hey, good luck to you. It doesn't work anymore. It's a learning experience. You have to train yourself. And you can get help for that. But please step away, even if it's a family member. I think all of us have to do it, or it's not your fault. It's not you. It's them.
Yeah. I love this because, look, we have to make decisions. My dad, the day I realized, I don't know how this happened, Barbara, because I actually wasn't that aware when I was younger. Yeah. But I realized at some point, right, when I reconnected with my dad, and I would call him. After about the third time, a light bulb went on, and I realized my dad, the first thing he's going to say to me is, how much money do you make? So it took me three times. So the first time, it was like, okay, he's interested in me. No. The second, right, but it's every call. And so by the time I figured this out with him, I could really make light of it. I could make light of it. And every call. It was going to be like, hi, Patricia, every call, right? All of a sudden he calls me Patricia. It's crazy. But it was going to be the same thing. And I would make light of it. And I would say, Dad, how much money do you make? He said, I don't need to make money. I carry a gun. And I said, Dad, did you lie on your application to become a security guard? Why would they give you a gun? So you see, why would I even engage my dad in that way?
Exactly.
Right? Because this is my dad. This is the best my dad can do to communicate. He's not going to ask me, how am I doing? Well, he did later on. But that's not going to be the first thing. Why? Because my dad lost every dime he had right after he married my stepmom from somebody that lied to him. And my dad just signed it. So that's important to him. The minute I realized where he was coming from. And isn't that what we're saying? But I want to take a break because when we come back, I want to talk about this. There are some people that are going to be relentless. And this is where you have to make the tough decisions in life. There are some people, and I have a family member like that, that you make a decision which is gut-wrenching at the same time, but you know you need to do it. When we come back, what does it feel like to put yourself first? Think about this. We're going to take a short break, but I really want all of you to think about this. What does it feel like to put yourself first to create a better you? Because Barbara said it, you cannot change other people. You can try till your last breath, but you can massively and masterfully change yourself. Now, couple that with the conversation about aging as an attitude, and when we come back, you're going to hear something from Barbara and I about what we both discovered that we have, that we've learned right now today, that we were clueless about when we were younger. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Keeping Up with Barbara. I'm Dr. Pat. I get to share this journey with Barbara Scheidegger. And again, if you want to find out more about Barbara, just get Barbara Scheidegger or Keeping Up with Barbara, and you'll be able to find out lots about her. Also, if you go to her website, she's got a ton of videos on there that you can watch, listen to, also her YouTube channel, because this is really, you know, when we're talking about having this conversation, Barbara, it's much more than a chat. You know, it's a conversation that, so that you can help people.
Yes.
You know, the reason you can help people and the reason I do this is because I know what it's like to be people like that. I know what it's like to not take care of myself, right?
Absolutely.
We know what that's like. But let's just talk about this. Aging as an attitude, not a disease. Let's talk about this thing. I said before the break there was one thing that I looked at now where I sit. And I know as the founder owner of the Transformation Network, I know that I absolutely would not have been able to start this when I was younger. And there are a lot of reasons why. Because there is an enormous blessing of putting a few years behind you, right? What do you say to that?
Oh, absolutely. Look, it is a blessing. I mean, I'm looking forward to my 64th birthday in March. And again, and I'd always do a video or something. I do something specific that women or people at my age should not do. but I meant it. That I make it one more year, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
That I make it one more year now in health, which I didn't have last year, it's over the top. I'm grateful every morning when I wake up. It's not only grateful. There are up and downs in life, but in the morning when I wake up, I tell myself I'm happy. I'm happy. This is why I'm happy. This is because I woke up, because I have another chance today to do something good. And it is an enormous blessing, no matter how old you are.
Yeah.
There are people, they don't make it until this age. They are babies, they are born. They only live 2 days, and they have to live the world again. So what are you saying to them? So you're in your 60s and 70s. How do you want to move forward in your life? I mean, my age now, I finally have my freedom to do what I want to do. Do I want to be sick? No. I was told last year, in May, don't go up to the mountains. The high altitude is not good for your lungs. It's not this. So no, the mountains, that's my life. And I went up. And truly, truly, I put in my mind that this air up here in Colorado saved my lungs.
Yeah.
This is in my head. And I was living that, and it saved. So it's a big blessing.
Yeah.
Every day when you wake up.
Wow, it's so interesting you're talking about that, because I got the same feedback about living in the Pacific Northwest in the greater Seattle area, because people look and they say, oh my gosh, how do you live without the sun? And, you know, here's what I've learned. I've learned exactly what you just learned. First of all, the air here is so amazing. Secondly, there's something here energetically.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about it. They talk about the Pacific Northwest. But there's something here energetically that you can't put your finger on. We've been categorized as one of the most religious, most spiritual places in the United States, and one of the least religious, so I don't know what that means. But the point is this. There's something here in the culture. There's something here in the state. But there's just something here that I cannot explain that negates any of the other people's negative views about the weather here.
Yeah. If you go with the minority, oh, it's going to be sunny, it's going to be cloudy, and then you're going like already like this, you know. It's going to rain. Well, buy yourself a beautiful umbrella or something that, you know, whatever it is, but enjoy. And that's what we have to learn, to see the positive in the quote-unquote negative that's going on,
yeah.
You know, that we don't want. And I say, you know, in a even aging, and people tell me, well, you know, you're so lucky, it's your genes, it's your just genes. Until 20, I was quite heavy. I was 150 pounds and couldn't run and do anything. No, it's my mind. The genes is an excuse. You are having, you know, if you grow up in a family that always eat meat and heavy duty nutrition, yes, your cholesterol will go up. Your father has it, your mother had it, your sister had it. But if you make the change, it will reverse and your cholesterol will go down. So it's a flip of the coin. What do you want to do? You want to move on like this? You want to make a change? And I made that when I was 20. I promised myself I never, ever going to be heavy in my life. It wasn't about looks. I did not feel good. And I say that, you know, you cannot be, not everybody can be skinny or perfect weight. No. If you have a few pounds more, no big deal. But if it becomes big, it affects your health.
Yeah.
You're heavy, your knees are going to give in, your hips, your bones, everything. So it's not about just looks. The look comes with taking care of yourself. It comes from inside. I mean, when your gut is clean, and that's so important,
mm-hmm.
it shows in your skin, in your nails, in your hair, everywhere. And you, even the wrinkles, you have less wrinkles. So it comes from inside. So take care of yourself from inside. And I say, you know, when people say, oh, my God, I don't feel good, I should have a facelift, or I should do this. That's fine. But that doesn't fix how you feel inside.
Yeah.
Fix the inside first. Accept yourself for who you are, and then look at the little wrinkles. Okay, yeah, I want to remove that. But what is important to you? We have to make a list. Is it your career? Is it your health? Is it your family? Is it your personal growth? Is it your finances? Your love? Your friends? What comes first?
Yeah.
And if in that list the health is the last one, you have a wrong list. Because if your health is not good, all the other things won't work.
Listen, I grew up loving an incredible actress. And I don't know what it was. I think it was my grandma's influence. I don't know. But I absolutely loved every movie she was ever in, quite controversial. Won an Oscar, the first Oscar for foreign film language, Sophia Loren. She is 88 years old, and but she has an interesting story, which I wasn't aware of. And her journey exiled her from Italy. I mean, you know, and if you read into this and the choices she made to care for herself and her family, to protect herself and her family, they had to be hard. Yes. But I don't know that she would be 88 years old today if she didn't make them.
Yes.
Do you know? I mean, clearly, when you say Sophia Loren, you think of Italy. But this is a woman that left Italy decades ago. And you can Google it and find out for yourself. But I often wonder how difficult that must have been on her. And yet at the same time, if she'd have stayed, the toxicity would have engulfed her.
Yeah. And that's what I say too, you know. Sometimes you just have to make a choice and take care of yourself. You leave, you just go away, or you make your choice, whatever it is, but it's good for yourself. It's called self-care. Just doing something so somebody will love you doesn't work, because they want more and more. Oh, yeah, she's so wonderful. She cooked my meal. Oh, she's so wonderful. She cleaned my bathroom. Oh, she's wonderful, or he, whoever they are, did my backyard. And once you just start skipping something, you're not that wonderful anymore.
Yeah.
If you don't do the backyard this time, oh, no, she forgot, she became lazy. No. But that's exactly what it is. Don't work on somebody so this person can love you. Work on yourself, and you will attract the people who love you. Because not everybody can love you, that will love like you, it's just what it is. But just doing this for other people so they love you, that's the wrong approach.
It is.
Do it because you want to do it, it makes you feel good.
You know, part of this is we're talking about aging as an attitude, and there's so many layers to this, Barbara, mm-hmm. right? And this is the work that you do in your one-on-one work and working with people in the workshops you do, is to really, you know, when people step up and say, Barbara, do you think you can help me, right? There are many layers to that that you help them with. Sometimes it's not as obvious. You know, you and I are talking about some of the things we've had an epiphany about.
Yeah.
Like, clearly for me, being around people that are upbeat, positive, honest, but care for me, I care for them, that has been a pivotal point in the last 20 years of my life. Starting a positive network, totally amazing that I get to put myself around people like you.
Yeah, no, it's...
What would you say to folks now that you've learned about this journey of self-care, and especially how to care for yourself in the context of where you put yourself when it comes to others?
Yeah, I think we have to get rid of the guilty feeling of selfish. If you're healthy, you're able to help others. And if you do something that makes you feel bad and not good, and it puts your health in the back, then you're not able to help them anymore. So what did I hear the other day? If you don't spend the money on your health, you will spend the money on your sickness. So, yeah, pay attention to yourself and make sure that when somebody asks you to do something and you know it's not good for you, make that big N-O, big no. They get upset maybe for a while, but then it's fine. But you just, if you go in and do it anyway, your body will not react good to it and you will get sick. So self-care is not selfish. It is taking care of you, so you're able to take care of others in a positive way.
Yeah, and this, what we're about to talk about, we're going to go to a short break. What we're about to talk about, I think, is one of the most important things to really discuss. And you should know this about Barbara, because she is also the founder of Let It Go Hypnosis. And there's a reason that this became so important to her. And the power of Let It Go Hypnosis, and she's a certified clinical hypnotherapist. And what you know about that is, there is a powerful, powerful way to heal. But when we come back from break, did you know aging as an attitude, it can also be tied up in a giant knot to what we are holding on to in our past? Because think about this. It would be highly improbable that a Sophia Loren would be 80 anything if she didn't figure out a way to let go, let go, let go. When we come back, Barbara's going to walk us through what is it that the shackles of our past keep us entangled in, and what can we do to move beyond them. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Keeping Up with Barbara. I'm Dr. Polly. I get to take this journey, as I said. And this is a very important show. I mean, when Barbara says the words, aging is an attitude, not a disease, it's not just to say a few words, but what it means is to really enable and empower and let you all know that this is her journey. This is the path she walks. You know, whether it's talking about having parts of her body that needed to be healed, or mental, emotional, spiritually, work she does with her clients, There's always an element to it that will enable you to rise up from wherever you are now. I will say that what we're about to talk about now can probably be a full hour show in itself, but it has to be included if we're going to talk about aging in any way. Because when we do talk about aging, ask yourself this question. Am I carrying around my neck iron caskets of my past that refuse to set me free? Now, if that's a little dramatic, let's just break it down simpler. Are you carrying parts of your past, whatever they are, that you think about and feel guilty about, or you ruminate about, your exes, whatever, your decisions you made? You can't make a decision about money because you made one in the past that you didn't like. That's what we're talking about. Aging, the past, oh my gosh, I'm just telling you, that is like such a burden to carry our past forward.
Oh yeah. This is, I think that's the most important aspect in life is the past. If you carry your past with you in a negative way, you'll be miserable. You get sick. If there's negativity, hurt, blame, all this is within you, you cannot move forward at any age in a healthy way. And I went through that. I was able to let go, and it was a process. It took me a few years, actually, that I have to say, in my life now, the way I am today, I feel the best ever. I didn't feel like this in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. 50 was hard because I also went through a divorce and planning and should I have stayed and the kids. I've learned, and through, I have to say with hypnosis, that's why I went and studied again, because it helped me tremendously to let go of these old voices in my head, the mean voices, the mean pictures in my life, the hurtful pictures, the hurtful the hurtful voices. You replay it constantly. It's like a movie. And I learned if I do that, I don't advance. I'm just stuck in the same thing over, over, over again. So I deleted that movie. I deleted all these things. And through that, also in my evening when I go to bed, I meditate. And one of my things is I'm letting go of all the hurtful feelings in the past, hurtful voices in the past. I'm letting go of rejection, of even jealousy, or I should have, I could have, and I surrender. I surrender to the universe. You can surrender to love. You surrender to kindness. And then I come, and it's just like, hear the truth, see the truth, speak the truth. And don't be so hard on yourself constantly. See today what it is, and make a list. What are the values you live by as of today? What are your values? And live by them. And when something comes in from the past, it's like, okay, I've learned, what have I learned from this? Okay, that's cool. I've learned this. And now I know I'm not going to do this anymore, from the past. And then you move on. The past can wear you down. And give you a lot of wrinkles, sickness. And it's like you said, it's a heavy chain around you. And once you can release that chain and say, wow, I'm actually me, and it's what is important to me and how do I want to live my life right now. And again, it starts with self-care and not with blame. We are so hard on ourselves. We are so good giving other people advice, but you shouldn't do this. You know, it's better probably you go and walk 5 minutes instead of 1 minute, or go to the gym, or why don't you eat healthy? Why don't you eat the turmeric shot? Well, are you doing it? It's so great to give advice to others. Step in front of the mirror.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Step in front of the mirror and tell yourself what you have to do. That's what it is. If you need help, go and get help for that. Let the past go.
The past has so much energy that we do not recognize. Let's talk about this in the few minutes we have left, because this is an entirely other show. Because you know this, as a clinical, right, certified clinical hypnotherapist, you know that what starts to show up when people identify things from their past, and then they hear and they say, I had no idea that was still there. You see, it'd be great if it were like the Super Bowl that we just had. Like everybody knows, you know, you either won the Super Bowl or you lost the Super Bowl, right? The people that lost the Super Bowl, it's right up in their face.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not the way the past works. It's less about being so obvious in your face and more about these the way these thoughts from the past and things get attached to us in a very subliminal way, to the point where there might be a time in our lives where we don't know which one is holding us back, right?
But what I've learned also from the past, you know, I really clean that, you know, people hold on and think I have memory. I have no memories of all this. All my old clothes are gone. I don't want this anymore, but I had from 10 years ago. And I want new. Go for new. Get rid of these old things that remind you of misery, remind you of being sick or being treated badly. And we all, and what's very important, talk about it, because you realize that other people have the same problem. We all have a past. And we have all a past. During my expression, that sucked, honestly. And that's it. We have to get rid of that. And there is a way. There is a way, and I proved it many times. And the first person I proved it to is to me. And that's why I'm so passionate about helping people today, because I know it can be done. I could be today a miserable person. I can be an alcoholic, drug addicted person, or in a crazy home. Honestly, that's what it is. And I thought it over that, no, this is what I want. I want to be out there. I want people to hear my voice. And I want to play with my grandchildren in a healthy way until somebody up there says, no, it's enough.
Yes, exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. And you know what I love about this? People ask me, oh, okay, COVID. Okay, so you know what I say? I said, oh, my gosh. COVID gave me an opportunity to get both of my knees replaced. Now, and then they asked me, why'd you have to do that? I said, because I've been an athlete all my life, and I have been rough on my body. I can't tell you how many times I've either slid into home plate or tore my meniscus playing the crazy game of squash. Yeah. I said, but that was me. But COVID allowed me, because I'm not playing a lot of things, to take a minute. And what was fascinating about that is somebody actually asked me, it's a great way to end the show. Somebody actually said to me, why would you do that now? And I looked at him and said, like, what the heck are you talking about? It's the perfect time. He said, are you really going to get that many years of use on your knees? And I was like,
seriously? Wow.
But that's what we're talking about. See, that's not my energy. That is not me, and that's not you.
Yeah.
I can literally put on skis now. I don't know how well I'll be.
Happy for you.
But isn't that what we're talking about? See, it wasn't that I got my knees done. It was my attitude. That I look at whatever that looks like, and I want to be fully present. I want to be healthy. I want to be able to continue to help people in the way we're doing. Barbara, isn't that what you're doing too?
Absolutely. And that's my goal, to help people. My goal is to help you guys to reach your goal. And that's it.
Well, let me end the show by saying this. What I said to this person, I said, oh, my God, you bring up a really good point. probably am going to have to get new ones because I think they only last 25 years. Barbara, thank you so much.
Thank you for keeping up with Barbara Scheidegger. Keeping your body, mind, and life in tip-top shape is not only helping you live a longer life, but a better one. Whether you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, or onward, you can still create beneficial habits that will help you on your path to ageless living. Choose to keep up with Barbara and live your life to the fullest. Visit BarbaraScheidegger.com to learn more and listen to her on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the hosts in this program and not KKNW. This is 1150 AM KKNW Seattle and KPNW 98.9 FM HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday morning to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your alternative talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. Well, still we have a disabled vehicle on 165 southbound on milepost 19 near the interchange at 162. The southbound lane is still blocked. Alternating traffic is in effect in that area. Stay tuned. Coming up next after the news and weather, it's Tech It Out Radio with your host Mark Saltzman, who goes from geek speak to street speak.
NBC News Radio. I'm Michael Kastner. Residents in parts of Oklahoma and Kansas are waking up to massive damage caused by tornadoes. Norman, Oklahoma Police Chief Kevin Foster said things could have been worse.
Very minor injuries. The most severe, I believe, was a broken leg, and that was due to a car accident.
The storm brought the twisters and high winds last night and early this morning in the southern plains. Thousands of homes and businesses are without power as of this morning. 12 weather-related injuries have been reported in the city of Norman. A laboratory leak is likely to blame for the COVID-19 pandemic. The Department of Energy made that conclusion with low confidence. That's according to a classified report delivered to key lawmakers last month. The National Security Advisor told CNN there's no definitive answer on whether the health emergency began in China as a result of a lab leak or whether it emerged naturally. There are still no arrests after a large fight left 8 people stabbed over the weekend at a nightclub in Oklahoma City's Bricktown District. Garrett Scalia lives near the Pink Parrot nightclub.
Sucks for, you know, the people that just want to come out and have a good time. Bricktown's fun because, like, you can bring your family down here and, like, there's no reason to, like, have to feel unsafe just because people are acting crazy like that.
2 of the stabbing victims are in critical condition. The other 6 were treated for minor injuries. It's unclear what led to the fight. Testimony is back on today in South Carolina in the double murder trial of disbarred former lawyer Alex Murdoch. The 54-year-old is already facing dozens of charges related to financial crimes and the 2021 murders of his wife Maggie and son Paul. He took the stand in his own defense on Thursday and Friday, insisting he had nothing to do with the murders. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 200 points as stocks try to rebound from the worst week of 2023. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio. The National Transportation Safety Board says a plane that crashed in northern Nevada over the weekend may have broken into pieces before it hit the ground.
Radar track and all of the radio communications with air traffic control were absolutely normal. There was no distress call.
Vice Chairman Bruce Landsberg says investigators are still determining the cause of the crash that killed 5 people just minutes after taking off from Reno on Saturday. The plane was on its way to Salt Lake City at the time of the crash. Landsberg says the plane was operated by Utah-based Guardian Flight, a company that specializes in medical transport. Britain's energy regulator has lowered the maximum amount of money that suppliers can charge their customers for gas and electricity. In London, Julia Chapman says with government subsidies set to decrease in April, households could end up paying more for their energy than they have throughout the winter.
From April, the average British household will pay $600 more for their energy in annual terms. Last autumn, when they were skyrocketing, the government stepped in to help. But that help will soon start tapering off. And it's the government that will reap the savings from lower energy prices.